Lord, this morning. Can we offer sacrifices of praise unto Him? Let's say thank you to Him for His grace, for His mercy, for His strength, for His divine protection over us, for His bowl of mercies and love upon our family. Can we exalt Him? His word of our praise is the word of our worship this morning. Let's tell Him that this morning we want our prayer to come unto you as an incense and the lifting up of our hands as evening sacrifice. The Lord, you will delight in everything we are going to be doing today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we appreciate you. We thank you because you are the scepter of your kingdom and righteousness is the word toward. We exalt you, our God, because you are a faithful God. Thank you because you are a merciful God. We exalt you this morning because unto you shall the garden of the people be. Therefore, Lord, we pray that you teach us as we learn at your feet this morning, O God, in the name of Jesus. We decree that, Lord, at the end of today's service, we have a cause to glorify your holy name. Lord, we disappoint every devices of the crafty this morning. Everything which is not of you, we come against them, we nullify them in the name of Jesus. Everything that will serve as an hindrance against the people of God receiving the blessing that you have ordained for today, we come against them in the mighty name of Jesus. But Lord, we say today, your will, your purpose, your counsel concerning individual in this church today will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. We say, Lord, at the end of today's service, we have a cause to glorify your holy name. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, as we go to Sunday school, teach us, O God, because we know a word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Enlighten our darkness, O God. Grant us understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can somebody remind me what we did last week? We've been on a series on understanding the purpose of God for money and wealth in the life of a Christian. Can somebody just give me an overview of what we did last week? Brother Dayo, can you please give me an overview of what we did last week? Praise the Lord. Because of our time, we quickly rush to the concluding part of the series. And again, we're still talking about money and wealth in the life of the Christian. That is the same thing we're still looking at. Then our text again is found from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 1 to 20. Then the memory verse is found from the book of Psalm 35, verse 27, which says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That is the memory verse. And we said that God is interested in us as a believer to have money and to live well. And this money that God is committing to the hand of the Christian is for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. And I pray that we make ourselves available as a channel of blessing to expand the kingdom of God on the earth in the name of Jesus. This morning, I want us to look at how can money and wealth be yours. How can money and wealth be yours? The fundamental truth we need to look at critically here that are important for us to know how money and wealth can be the right of a Christian. Remember, we said that righteousness is automatically commends us to God's blessing. Righteousness automatically commends God's blessing to us. Then what is righteousness? We are talking about right standing before God. Right standing before Him. Living our lives as a daily living sacrifice unto Him. Holy and acceptable unto Him. Is the main reasonable heart of worship of a believer. And of course, when you live in righteousness, When you make righteousness the watchword for your daily activity, you command God's blessing upon you. Then we need to also understand that for most time, however, like other heavenly blessings, what we need is the revelation. We need the revelation. We need insight to understand all the provisions that God has given to us. Praise the Lord. In book of Mark, if you are there, please, can you read book of Mark, chapter 10, chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. Bible says, it is given unto us to know the mystery of the kingdom. Therefore, we need revelation. We need revelation for us to understand how to key in with the key that God has given unto us by words. Praise the Lord. And this revelation is so crucial. If you are there, please, you can read. Yes, 10 to 12. Mark 4, 10 to 12. Praise the Lord. Say, it is given unto us to know the mystery of the kingdom. The revelation, which is the key word for us to unlock the treasure of God in our lives, depends on you understanding and taking time to find out from the scripture all those things that God has said concerning you, concerning the words he has told you about. Praise the Lord. And that's why this scripture is so important, that we need to understand that the first prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian church is that he prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Praise the Lord. Can we quickly open our Bible to book of Ephesians chapter 1? The book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Please, if you are there, you can read.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better.
Praise the Lord. There's no way a Christian can live a Christian life successfully without you having an understanding of who God is, the knowledge of God, and what it takes to live a fulfilled life as a believer. Therefore, revelation is crucial. The first prayer Paul prayed for this Ephesian church is that he prayed the God of glory that should grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Praise the Lord. Because revelation is required for you to open the treasure of the kingdom that God has committed into your hand. Then we also need to understand that the treasure is yours, because Bible says all things are yours. The treasure is yours all along, but then the right key is required to get the entrance into the specific room for the specific treasure that God has committed into your hands. There are some scriptures there that we are going to look at critically. We are going to look at the book of Psalm 1:1-3, and we are going to look at Psalm 119 verse 130. Then we are looking at Psalm 19, verse 7. Then we also take a look at 2 Peter 1-19. If you are in Psalm 1:1-3, can you please read?
Just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant.
Which passage is that? No, Psalm 1:1-3.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Praise the Lord. That is one of the key that we need. It is the word. Say, blessed is that man that walk not in the counsel of ungodly, the man that refused to make company with people who are not godly, people who are holding the word of God with unseriousness. And of course, look at the word. Say, whatsoever thing that man does, it will prosper. It is the key for us to understand God has given us to enter into his promises he has committed into our hands. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 130, Bible says, the word is the light unto my path, and the light unto, the word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It is the word. It is the word that is the right key for us to fulfill the will of God concerning us. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 19, verse 7, okay, if you are there, Paul, you please read. Yes.
Comforting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Praise the Lord. The word of God is perfect. And of course, the testimony of God is sure. It grants wisdom unto the people who are simple. And of course, every one of us need wisdom. We need the direction of God. And Bible has told us severally that if does anyone lack wisdom, we can ask of God who gives without partiality, and God will give unto us. Praise the Lord. These are the keys that we need. Is the word. The word is what we need for us to enter into our promise, for the fulfillment of what God has said to us concerning the area of money and wealth. We need to understand that we cannot live without the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Please, if you are there, you can read.
In a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Praise the Lord. Bible refers to the word of God as a sure word of prophecy, a word that is being tested and purified, and the word that once you trust is a shield of protection unto you. In everything we need in life consists in the word. And Bible, that's why Bible refers to all things are yours. And it's just for you to dig out what God has said concerning you, concerning your finances, concerning the treasure that God has promised you from the word. Praise the Lord. Be where God wants you to be and do what God asks you to do, according to Genesis 1 to 3, Luke 5, 4 to 6. It is. Can we please open our Bible to book of Genesis chapter 26?
Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to you to your father Abraham."
Praise the Lord. If you look at the passage our brother just read, with the scriptures we've read before now, you find out that we are still talking about the word, and it is the word that produces. It is the word that gives us results. It is the word that is the key. And of course, there's no way you can obey the word if you don't study the word. And therefore, faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. This is a man who knew that when he was a farmer in the time of his father, the first thing the father did was to move from where he was to another place. And of course, he believed that is the same thing he ought to have done, or he ought to do. And of course, what he did was about to move away from the land where God planted him. But the Lord told him, stay in that land. Though there's a farmer, stay in this land, obey my word, and you will receive increase. And of course, Bible recorded that he stayed in the land, and the fulfillment of God concerning the wealth came to pass. Praise the Lord. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 4 to 6, there was another story there, how Jesus took somebody's boat. And of course, after the preaching, whatever, and those people said they have toiled all night, they could not get anything. And of course, they said, well, at their word, they laid out their net, and they got what God actually deposited for them. So I'm saying this morning, just to admonish us, that for us to live in plenty, for us to live in riches and glory, for us to live in abundance, the word of God is crucial. Praise the Lord. There's no way we can do without the word. I heard a story about one American pastor who got instructed to go and buy a piece of land at the time. And of course, mere looking at the land is like nothing good can come out of it. But later, God says you buy the land. He bought the land. And later they discover oil on that land. And he became a multimillionaire. It's just because he obeyed the word of God. And Bible says the sure word of prophecy. This word we are talking about is being tested. This word we are talking about is sure, is an anchor of hope to anybody that believes. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying this morning, by the mercies of God, that brethren, let's hearken to the word. Let's pattern our lives, everything about daily activity according to the word. And the blessing in the world will be our portion in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Another thing I want us to look at it from here, from this angle of how can money and wealth be yours, is from the perspective of obedience and willingness. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, that is the word. If you are there, please, you can read. Please, if you are there, you can read for me. The book of Isaiah.
If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land.
So, it takes two to tango here. God is willing. Your obedience is required. Your willingness is required here. That's the Bible saying, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will hear the good of the land. It is your willingness and obedience that will qualify you to be a partaker of the abundance in the kingdom of God. And that's what we have just read. Remember, he has not changed his rules on giving as a key to divine prosperity. Praise the Lord. After obedience and willingness, another thing we need to understand is that God is governed by principle. He's a God of principle. And his rule has not changed. If God is saying to you, give, it shall be given unto you, he's saying and he meant what he's saying. And that is why I'm telling you all this morning. The principle of the kingdom of God about giving still stands sure. That you give and you be a blessing. And of course, we need to understand that at this stage, we are not supposed to be hugging about tithe and offering anymore, because it is a commandment of God. Let's quickly open our Bible to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last chapter before Matthew. or the last book before Matthew, Malachi chapter 3. The book is so short that they call them minor prophets.
Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house.
Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heavens and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests and devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruits, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
Praise the Lord. This is only passage in the scripture where God has told us that we should prove him. This is only place where God has told us to prove. He didn't tell us to pray. I believe that what God is saying here is true, because I've experienced the blessing of God in this area. It is a commandment of God with a proof. He didn't say you should pray. He said, prove me. You do your own part if I will not fulfill my part. And of course, if you cannot give a tithe of 100, probably God bless you with $100. You cannot give 10% of 100. There is no way God will bless you with $2 million that you want to pay tithe from that. Praise the Lord. Because he that is faithful in little definitely will be faithful in much. And until we come to a stage in our life that we need to demystify whatever dollar is called. People tend to esteem money above whatever. And until we have an attitude that money is just a medium of exchange, a vehicle for instrument of exchange of goods and services, and money is meant to be spent, and we need to understand that in spending money, first of all, you pay God. God should have access to your money until you are committed to such a principle before God can open the windows of heaven. It's saying here, bring ye in tithe into my house so that there may be meat in my house. And he's saying, prove me if I will not. Why don't you put God to a test and be committed to paying tithe? It is not 99.9. It's not 9.9. It's saying 10% of your income. And of course, we need to believe as a believer, if indeed we believe in the word of God, that this is an aspect that some Christians are still finding challenges to obey. And of course, if you want to believe that the word of God is written for admonition, for training righteousness, we need to understand that the word is for us. And I'm saying this morning that this word is the same rule that God is using to bless people. Say, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven. And I need to stress this because it's an area of challenge for believers. And there is no way you will not obey the word and live one. You must obey the word in all totality. Praise the name of the Lord. And of course, in book of Luke chapter 6. In book of Luke chapter 6. Verse 38.
Down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
Praise the Lord. Bible is saying to us again this morning that this is another key. How wealth and money can be yours. It is in giving. It is a principle, and God is a God of principle. You must give for you to receive. Praise the name of the Lord. You will also do well to remember that he answers people who ask him and grant what you say if you believe. In the book of Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Bible saying, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Praise the Lord. God is still at work. He's still at work by you asking according to your desire. And it is for you to believe that God will do it. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, unsearchable level of riches can become yours if you can get him to enter into a covenant of prosperity with you, like he did with Abraham and Solomon, by diligently seeking him. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6. And somebody else should open to Zechariah 6:15.
It's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Praise the Lord. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So by faith, it is impossible to please God. If you are coming to God, you must come by faith. Praise the Lord. Zechariah 6:15. Please, if you are there, you can read. Praise the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is what God is saying to us this morning. The summary of what we are saying is that God is interested in blessing us as a believer. God is interested in committing the riches of the kingdom into our hand. God is interested in giving us the threshold of darkness as our right by virtue of the blood of Jesus. And one of the things we need to understand is for us to commend God's blessing, the key word is righteousness, a right standing before God. For riches and wealth to be yours, we must maintain a right standing with God. A right standing in holiness, in word, in purity, in righteousness. This is the word. And we said revelation is needed as a key to unlock the kingdom where the treasure of God is. And we said it is given unto us as a believer to search out the scripture and understand the mystery of the kingdom. And of course, we also said that the will of God is this word. We must obey the word of God for the fulfillment of the blessing of God in our lives. Then another thing we need to understand is that as a part of our own willingness and obedience in living according to word of life. And I also said that the standard of God still remains the same. The principle about wealth is still the same. The principle of giving and receiving. The principle of you fulfilling your own part of the bargain by paying your tithe, be faithful with your offering. And God is saying you should prove him if he will not open the windows of heaven for you. And of course, God is still saying whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have them. Praise the Lord. Any addition, contribution, questions?
Praise the Lord. I have a question concerning tithes. It's not as if I'm confused or anything, but there was a book I was reading that dwelt on Malachi chapter 3, and it talked about tithes and offering. That a lot of time people confuse, you know, the tithe with something else.
Okay.
For example, it said in the Bible, in Malachi, it stated that you should pay your tithe so that there will be food in the house of the Lord. So what the writer was saying was that it was not stated in the Bible that you should pay, you know, like your income, that the tithe is not based on income, but, you know, that mainly it is, most times it is dwelt on income, money. But that what it is in the Bible is that let there be food in the house of the Lord. I don't know. So I just want clarification on that.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before I call Pastor, Pastor is our last resort this morning. Before I call Pastor, I don't know if there's anybody in the house want to give an insight into this. Yes, my sister, can you give it to Brother Dayo?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
In that place where we read, it said tithes of all. If you take note of that place, all. It's not only money. Even time is part of what we should give to God. We should pay tithes of our times to God. For instance, every day, we have 24 hours in a day.
That's right.
You have to pay 2 hours, 40 minutes to God every day.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
That includes praying. Even if you don't have activities to do in the church, you can pray for the expansion of the kingdom of God and several other things. And in the area of the money, paying tithes of money, at times, one of the reasons why we find it difficult is by the time we value what we do with the tithe, the money, we look at what that tithe we are paying can do for us and not focusing on what we can receive when we pay it. For instance, in the bank, the first lesson we were given was, especially those of us in operation, you might have needs, you have pressure, people calling you, I need money, I need that. You are working with money. Millions of it, you will see it piled up. Mints, different kind. But you cannot touch out of it. You might not even have ₦1 in your pocket. But you cannot touch. So the first lesson we are told is, just see it as instruments that you work with. Just as you see your counting machine, biro. That's what will help you to take your mind off what the money can do. By the time you begin to calculate this money in my front, I can use it to buy a car. So also, we should see tithe as an instrument of worship that we must not touch. It's an instrument of worship. So by the time we begin to see our tithe in that manner, we'll be able to give it unto God.
Praise the Lord. Who else? Okay.
My question has still not been answered.
Don't worry, we'll get there.
Why is it that it is dwelt mainly on money?
Press
that's what I'm saying.
Sir, you are the last resort, sir.
He has said something now, and I've gained from it.
Yes.
You understand? But most times when we talk about tithes and offering, usually we lay emphasis on money.
Well, so let me point out something for you. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, people are asked to give tithes of all. Yes, tithes of all. And of course, tithes are in various kind. If you are into agriculture, people are asked to give. If you are in whatever thing you are doing, you pay tithe from such a provision. But because of this day that we tend to believe that money tend to become a legal instrument for transaction. Moreover, as you are seated, you don't have any farm produce that you have presently. So what we're saying is your skill that is turning to money for you, you value that based on what that skill is giving you as an income, and you give the 10% of all. And of course, some people tend to have this obnoxious idea is that tithe is with the Old Testament, but tithe is even with the New Testament. I want you to go home, read the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 precisely. It will show you that God is also interested in you paying tithe. If Jesus can say that, it shows that it is the will of God for us to pay tithe. It is true, in the Old Testament, they pay tithe in various kind. But in the dispensation of grace that we have, we tend to value whatever we have from angle of money, because it's a legal instrument for transaction. But meanwhile, pastor will also address that. But as somebody at the back who wants to also contribute.
Just what I want to say is this. In the olden days, we can see God asked them to bring tithe. They use their what they have, like food, and I could see. If you can see our local church, our forefather, they are using food like yam, their first yam. They will bring it to the church to present it as their first food. But nowadays, not everybody can farm. What we need, and what we have, is money, and we are using money to buy them. That's the same money we use it as our tithe.
Praise the Lord. And there's a need for us to understand that there's a difference between first fruit and tithe. There's a need for us to understand there's a difference between first fruit and tithe, which I know that pastor too will address. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I think about the tithe. Some people, when they gave them something, they value the something on what they gave them, and they pay tithe on it. Because tithe is not only money. If you buy clothes now, you can value the clothes and what the clothes worth, and you use the tithe, the amount of the clothes, and give the, you know, the 10% of it to give God. So I believe in everything, according to the Bible, that in all everything, even though in food, in anything we buy, we're supposed to be giving tithe. Because like the most of our mother now, that they are really believers, if you give them something out of the, what you gave them, they will put bring the tithe out of it and give it to the God. I think it's not only our salary, it's everything we have. Anything we buy with the money, we're supposed to value it and give it as
tithe. Praise the Lord.
Okay. I want to read verse 10 again.
Okay. Yes. Is
so
it?
I want us to, you know,
it is
the essence of the tithe, I want to believe, is for provision in the church.
Yes.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So if we are laying emphasis on just paying the money, will there be enough, you know, the essence of the tithe itself?
Is praise the Lord.
I believe is for the poor in the church or for other things that needed to be done in the church.
Praise the Lord.
It's not meant for that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For example, I think it's only here in Australia that we don't employ staffs to do things in church. In Nigeria, let me cite Christ Embassy as an example. Christ Embassy has a workforce that's over 2,000. And they don't do anything more than the full-time ministry. Some are the type of music. Some are in charge of administration and they are being paid. And it is this money that we pay as tithes that is used for meeting the needs of these people who have committed themselves wholeheartedly to serve God all the days of their life. For example, all these instruments of praise that we have, this board you see, this camera that is on, this microphone that I'm holding, they are bought for God. Through what? It's through the contribution of the tithes that people are bringing into the house. And I have a strong belief, a conviction that this is a church that is totally accountable and transparent in their affairs, the way they run their affairs of the money in this church. So when God is saying you should bring in your tithes so that may be made, he's using... And I don't know how to put it, but it's using the medium to convey a message to us that the meat he's talking about is not the flesh that we eat, rather to meet the basic things that will help the ministry to grow to the level that people, you know, the ministry can be a blessing to people outside. Praise the Lord. I know somebody also want to contribute.
I'm not talking about us. I think maybe pastor will handle that. But I want to raise a question.
Okay.
The question is, we are talking about tithes. My question is, the income we get from which we pay tithes, our tithes, is it the 10% of the gross or the net? What I mean is it 10% of what gets to you legally, or what gets to you after you have removed the tax and all other mortgages and everything? Is it the take home that you are talking about, or what before any deduction?
Praise the Lord. Well, I also believe that Pastor True will also do justice to that. But the background I'm coming from is 10% of the gross. That is the background where I'm coming from. 10% of the gross. But some people are arguing that God too recognize the government. That's why he's saying they should pay tithes. But I know that the mentality I have is 10%. And some people have grown beyond paying 10%. Some are giving 50, 40. Some are giving 90% of their income. And of God, if God is saying to you, prove me, he's saying he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. The devourer might not be somebody coming to your house to steal. It might be in charge of your health. It might be area of your children becoming well in life. It might be area of you not facing your car all the time. There are so many other areas that God is saying that you should prove him. And it is only commandment that's not about prayer. It's just you obeying the word of God. Praise the Lord. Every other issues attached to tithe, I know pastor will handle that. Praise the Lord. Any other question?
Okay.
When we were walking back home, I had some friends then that we were working in the bank, and they had loans and all that with the bank. And the bank would credit them the net of the loan. For instance, probably
after
maybe
deducting.
After deducting their monthly payback and all that. For instance, we're earning maybe like 200,000. And then the bank had already deducted all the loans they have. Now they are being paid like 35,000 or maybe like 30,000 after loan. And they still have to pay tithe of 200,000. You have to pay tithe of 20,000.
Okay, 10% of 200,000. Yeah, good.
Mm. So I want to know, probably, I think such people will find it naturally difficult.
You know what I did? I also took a loan at the time. And when I took the loan, what I did was I took the 10% of that sum from that loan and I gave it back as tithes. I don't know that I'm getting my point. So the remaining balance I'll be earning, I will be my net pay. I'll also pay tithe of 10% of that. I don't know that I'm getting my point. But that is about me. And that is the way I see that God is saying we should pay our tithes. And of course, I like what Brother Dyer said. And that's been the watchword. That message, I heard it about how many years ago, probably from Brother Billy Akoni or so, you know, was telling us about you paying tithe of your day. Which means for every single day, you have 2 hours, 40 minutes. What do you do with that time? You can study your word. You can pray with that. And make it a point of duty. It's not in paying tithes of money. Can we quickly read Matthew chapter 23, verse 23? Praise the Lord. He's saying that you pay tithe of all these components, the agricultural produce that we get from. But he said you have left with, you know, big issues behind. But he said you should not also leave tithing. Praise the Lord. So it's the same Jesus telling all this money that tithe is biblical. It is not of the whole testament. It is for even the dispensation the more. Praise the Lord. Our pastor to address that, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are very wise people, extremely wise people. If I'm starting from the last one, if I'm earning 200,000, I can as well go and take a loan of 180,000 as if it's not me who is deciding. First of all, it shows our value system as Christians. If our value system is actually the way it should be, and we put God first, the first thing we are going to calculate out of our earning is our tithe. And then, because we have just been told that it does not belong to you, see it as an instrument of worship, so you've taken your tithe from what you know your earning is, and your loan will be in accordance with what is left. So it's not, you see, a penny wise, a pound foolish. That's who we are. We then think, okay, if I go and take a loan of 180, after all, my conscience will be very clear because I only have 20,000 in my account and I paid 2,000. Then, you know, as if God, you know, the one who created you, he doesn't know what he's doing. And I think that question partially answers as to, you know, what we should be paying tithes from. If you are the type who has taken loan, who has taken this, and you are waiting until everything is deducted before you pay tithe, we know. I mean, you are the one taking a decision to spend your money. You took a decision, a rational decision. At that point, when you are taking that decision, why didn't you take a decision to also take your tithe and put it aside? And so that all your planning is based on what you think you are going to be, what is going to accrue to you that you have control over. I know some people have said that in the case of tax, because for people who are employed in the public system and they take tithe from, and they take tax from you before it gets to you, some people say, look, because the tax is being taken, you know, but the Bible actually tells us that we should pay the gross. I mean, not the gross. The Bible says, bring you all the tithe, all the tithe. So we know, you know, we should be calculating based on what we know that we are earning, rather than just what we know will be accruing to us at the end of the day after everything is done. So let's remember to always put God first. The other thing that I want to say is this. Even in the Old Testament, we need to remember something. One, that the issue of paying tithe predates the giving of the law. Abraham actually paid tithe before the law came. Yes.
Melchizedek. Yeah.
Okay. He paid tithe to Melchizedek. Not only that, the other thing I want us to be aware of, I know people have said this. Look, the reason it was meat, was because remember that the Israelites were herdsmen. They were farmers. That was what they had. If you read very well how God said tithe should be administered, you actually find out that people who are coming from far away places who could not bring those food items or so were asked to convert it to equivalent money. And when we say it's just food to feed the poor, no, that is not true. I happen to be working, gainfully employed, in other churches. The pastor is a full-time pastor. You pay his salary. Where is the money coming from? And churches, as they get bigger these days, there are people who are employed to do other things. They have secretary, they have accountant, they have, like here, we have accountant who, they do our GST every 3 months, we pay them. They do our annual report, we pay them. So every other thing, the instrument and everything comes from the money, the tithes and the offering that people pay. So it's not just a question of food. It should not be that each time we need something, we'll come begging people, say, please, can you contribute money? Can you do this? Can you do that? No, the Bible has already made provisions, you know. And what I think we should be talking about at this level is how to go over and above that 10%, really. Over and above that 10%. By now, it should not be a question of debate as to whether we pay tithes or not. As to whether, you know, no, it should be that we're actually looking at operating at a higher level. Let's watch the kind of value we place on money. Money is very important because, I mean, the Bible says money answered all things. money will also answer you if you call it to play a part in the expansion of the kingdom. Praise the Lord.
Sir, I also want you to address the issue of first fruit.
Okay. Particularly in the first fruit of your increase. Okay, let me give the equivalent. I mean, most of us we are not farming. Okay? I mean, we are not doing farming anymore. For example, at the end of the year, you get an increment. Okay? They add something, you know, or you make a profit. It is expected that you will also give to the Lord as a result of that increase. It's the first fruit of your increase. So when you come, you know, usually because they raise animals. So at the end of the year, when the animals give birth, usually the male animal, the first one, unblemished, is taken to the Lord for sacrifice, is given to the house of the Lord. So, and there are many other offerings that God actually asks us, I mean, that we are expected to give. We don't lay emphasis on all those ones. Because by the time you lay emphasis on them, a lot of people will say, oh, it's money, it's money, it's money. I thank God that this is coming up now, that we actually know our duties, you know, as part of the congregation of God, that we don't have a duty to pay our tithes and our offering. And, of course, I've known people before who actually, when they got their first fruit, they brought it and labeled it as such. Or you are getting a job for the first time. That salary. Some people will sow it to the Lord. And you had no job before. Now you have a job and you get the first pay. You bring it in. You give it to God. You know? But I believe that God will build our faith to that level in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
But what I'm saying is, why is it that more emphasis is on money? And he was able to answer one question and gain a lot from it by saying, not only money, even your time. So, what I'm expecting is to hear, you know, more examples of how you can, you know, give tithes, not based on financial. You understand? That's what.
No.
I want more examples. Giving me more examples.
Yeah.
Okay.
Money is what is quantifiable. Money is what is easily quantifiable. That is why people talk about money. And the thing that most of us do is we work, we earn money. So it's easily quantifiable. That's why we say give money. Now, the other thing I would quickly say as a writer to it is this. I think we need to be very careful about what literature we read too. Recently, I read the literature and people were talking about divorce, and they were talking about what God was against was putting away, and they went to town and tried to define what putting away is as different from divorce. And we had to go into the Hebrew book of this thing and look at the specific words that were used, and we find out that God is referring to the same thing. You know, and people will try to manipulate words to suit their own thing. So by the time you pick up a book and you already have the knowledge, you will be circumspect in the interpretation of it, you know. So I think we need to be, and I will still emphasize it that, look, the issue of tithe is something that we should have gone beyond, for the purpose of the people who are just coming up. Because we can pick up a lot of things that we can debate in the Bible. We should not focus on the debates. We should focus on obedience. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Is that well understood? Praise the Lord. We're saying tithe is 10% of our income, or what God has blessed us with. And of course, 10% is not net. It is gross. Praise the Lord. And we are saying this morning that we should give God a challenge by growing beyond 10% to 20, 30, and 40. The Lord will give us the grace in the name of Jesus. Then lastly, let me just say this. If you are given 10 tubers of yam, you need to pay tithe of that. And 10 tubers of yam, the 10% of 10 tubers of yam is what? My sister, I'm talking to you. If you are given 10 tubers of yam, yes.
Just on income, we should give 10% of our all, and that's what.
I think we can talk about that after service. If it's not clear to anyone, if you want to ask me, please come and we can talk about it. We have said that is what is quantifiable, and that is the reason. Otherwise, we will not be.
Praise the Lord. Can we be on our feet? Lord, we appreciate you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity given us to learn at your feet. Lord, we thank you because you grant understanding, and we pray that you open our spiritual understanding to see this reality more in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning that the wisdom that's profitable to direct will be our guide in this affair of the things of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we continue in this service, you dwell in our midst and do the unusual in the name of Jesus. I will believe that our life will not remain the same again because we have an encounter with divinity. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We will go into the mode of worship this morning. In everything we do in our life, Jesus is the answer.